Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lord Jesus, who defeated death and Satan through your cross and empty tomb, give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might equip us to boldly engage Satan and his culture of death by proclaiming and living the victory of your gospel of life. In your holy name, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this afternoon is taken from Nehemiah chapter 3. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Tower of Hananel. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I would invite you to please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to
you, O Christ. Please be seated. That's fine, because the recording. Why don't you take the...
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God that speaks to us this evening is our epistle reading from Ephesians chapter 6. Allow me to place before us once again these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That is God's word. You know, it's easy to read through this text and think it's all about us. We are to be strong in the Lord. We are to put on God's armor. We are to stand firm. We are to pray. We are to boldly proclaim the gospel. And sometimes isn't it easy for us to fall into that kind of thinking when it comes to this for life spiritual battle that we're in? If we just elect the right rulers, if we just pass the right legislation, if we just get the right judges on the benches, if we just get the right constitutional amendments passed, then we will have won a great victory for life. Had a prof at the seminary who referred to sermons that focused upon what we must do and what we must do better if we are going to accomplish anything as French sermons or oui-oui sermons. Well, this isn't a French text. And it's not all about us. This text is all about God. This text is all about God. It's about God equipping us. It's about God equipping us with His power. Listen again, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. What kind of might and power are we talking about here? Does the word omnipotent ring any bells? All power. Power beyond our comprehension. I'm told the most powerful thing in our solar system is a solar flare, a sudden eruption of energy on the sun, which can equal 40 billion Hiroshima-type atomic bombs. Now, I don't know if you can imagine 40 billion atomic bombs going off at the same time, but even if you could, you wouldn't even be close to imagining the power of God. And what God is able to do because of this power, Paul tells us back in chapter 3, he says he's able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Now, a little warning here, lest we think we can therefore call upon God's power and say, all right, great, strike down those who oppose us here and there, God. Lest we think that way, we need to go on because Paul says a pretty incredible thing here next. According to this power that is at work within us. Now we need another warning, lest we pull a James and John and say, oh, all right, then maybe we can command fire to come down from heaven and zap our enemies here or those who oppose us over there. Lest we do that, we need to remember Jesus' words to Paul in 2 Corinthians, you know, the whole thorn in the flesh thing. Remember what he told Paul? My power is made perfect in weakness. The power of God that we cannot comprehend, made perfect in weakness. You know what that means, don't you? It means none of us have any excuses to offer when it comes to engaging in this for-life spiritual warfare. Because it's not about us. It's about God. We cannot, you see, we cannot pull a Moses and say, well, I can't speak so awful good. And we can't pull a Gideon and say, well, I'm the least in my family. And we can't pull an Elijah and say, well, I'm all alone in this. And we can't pull a King Saul and say, well, Goliath is just too big. And we can't pull a Paul and say, but I'm used to be such a rotten sinner. We have no excuse because it's not about us. It's all about God. It's all about God equipping us with His power. It's all about God and His power at work in us. It's all about God and His power perfected in weakness. And so you see, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. We have all kinds of folks represented here. We have a district president. We have Speaker Emeritus of the Lutheran Hour. We have pastors. We have businessmen, we have housewives, we have single moms, we have young people here. But it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you are. That's the significance of that rather obscure Old Testament reading we had this evening. Perhaps you're wondering about that. You see, the walls of Jerusalem were not rebuilt with some massive army of construction workers. And it certainly wasn't rebuilt via a building committee. It was rebuilt with each family repairing the wall in front of their house. So-and-so repaired the wall in front of their house, and so-and-so repaired the wall in front of their house, and so it goes in about a chapter and a half. You don't have to traipse off someplace. You can engage in this spiritual for-life battle right where you are, no matter what vocation God has called you into, because it's not about you. It's all about God and His power at work in you. So no matter how weak you might think you may be in terms of skills or knowledge, or stamina. It's about God's power at work, even in, perhaps more correctly, especially in weakness. This text is all about God. It's about God equipping us with His power. It's about God equipping us with His armor. Notice here that God doesn't find this armor in some heavenly storeroom someplace. This is His armor. And we can be a little more specific here. This armor, it's all about Jesus. This is Jesus' armor, and He gives it to you. His armor is all about Jesus. This belt of truth, it's all about Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The breastplate of righteousness, that's all about Jesus. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. The shoes of the gospel of peace, that's all about Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The shield of faith, it's all about Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The helmet of salvation, it's all about Jesus. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Even the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, it's all about Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's all about God This armor is all about Jesus. He equips you with his armor. And this armor, as fantastic and as wonderful as it is and as precious as it is, it doesn't come to us with flourish and fanfare. It comes to us in rather simple, ordinary ways. A bit of ink on a page proclaimed and pronounced. Some water in a font. Wine in a chalice. Cardboard-tasting bread on a little plate. You see, put on the full armor of God is just another way of saying avail yourself to the equipping means of grace that God has given to his church. It's all about God. He equips us with his power and his might. He equips us with his armor in Jesus Christ. But now we have to deal with a seemingly little faux pas here that Paul makes, a grammatical one, the dreaded mixed metaphor. You see, Paul talks about wrestling against these spiritual forces. And then he tells us to put on armor. Come on, Paul, you don't wear armor to a wrestling match. You wear armor when you're marching off to war. To which Paul might respond, well, who said anything about marching off to war? Good point. Because our text doesn't talk about that. Our text doesn't talk about battlefields or battle lines. Doesn't talk about a call to arms, or it doesn't talk about a victory. The call is not to march off into battle. The call is to stand firm. It's to stand firm in the midst of these assaults. This is a defensive posture we're talking about here. When the combat gets close, the enemy's upon you, hand to hand, kind of like, well, wrestling. But some would say, oh, the sword, that's the offensive weapon. True enough. But the word for sword here is not the big long sword that we charge into battle with. No, it's the short dagger that you pull from your belt when the enemy is upon you. You don't have to go to some foreign battlefield. The battle is all around us. And isn't that a picture of the Christian life? Satan, through his various means, constantly attacking us from all sides. We're surrounded. He attacks our faith. He attacks God's truth. He attacks God's plan for marriage. He attacks God's plan for human sexuality. He attacks life. He attacks the value of human life. Yes, we don't have to find a battlefield. We don't have to march to some war someplace. We're in it. The attacks come all around. Now, usually we end this text right here at the end of verse 17. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. March off into battle. Amen. And even though some of you may like an amen right now, the thought progression doesn't stop at verse 17. The sentence doesn't even stop at verse 17. Paul goes on. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, comma, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. There's something else God equips us with. Prayer. Because Jesus Christ has torn down the barrier of sin between us and God, we can come to Him as children come to their dear Father, and we can pray. Paul goes on and gets a little more specific. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Reminds us that we're still in the same context here. The attack is on. Be alert. Persevere in the midst of this, making supplication for all the saints. We're not just to pray. We're pray for one another. Pray for your fellow Christians, and especially as we engage together in this four-life battle, we need to be praying for one another. We've taken that to heart at the Life Center in our daily devotions the past few weeks. We've been praying for other life-affirming ministries, and then we send them a little postcard letting them know that we did so. And it's neat to get responses back thanking us and letting us know how encouraged they were. And we, in turn, are encouraged by that response. See? Pray, brothers and sisters, for one another. And be specific. Pick out someone. Pick out some ministry for a week and pray for them. And then if you're able to, let them know. Let them know that you were praying for them so that they might be encouraged, and so that you, too, might be encouraged. But Paul's sentence, he keeps going here. Supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You see, Paul is experiencing what he's writing about. He's under attack. Paul has been experiencing what he's writing about ever since that conversion on that Damascus road. We probably know a lot of the list, right? Being arrested, imprisoned, stoned, left for dead, beaten, shipwrecked, a constant emotional struggle of worry about all the churches and false teachers, and now imprisonment again. Paul is in the midst of a spiritual battle, and what does he ask to be prayed for? What does he want more than anything else as he is being attacked? Protection? No, that he might boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The mystery of the gospel. Now we've gotten to our offense, folks. The mystery of the gospel, that powerful message of this God who loved the unlovable and the wretched so much that he became unlovable and wretched in our place, in your place. This power of this mystery of the gospel, it changes hearts. It brings people to repentance. It changes lives. And it changes how we live our lives. Now we have, do we not, a fuller picture of what the Christian life is all about. It's not just being equipped with the power of God. It's not just being equipped with the armor of God. It's being equipped with these things in the midst of attack, but then at the same time proclaiming the power and the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lutherans for Life's part in all of that is to connect that powerful and positive message to the life issues. You see, to relegate the life issues off into some little corner of the kingdom under the guise of too controversial or too political is a very uncaring and irresponsible cop-out. Because we have what it takes to speak to these issues in the power of the gospel. And so Lutherans for Life wants to help people make that connection, see that connection, and then we want to equip people with ways and means to make that connection real in the lives of people, to touch people who are dealing with these issues with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that their hearts might be changed, so that their lives might be changed, so that their way of thinking might be changed when it comes to life. And Lutherans for Life doesn't just want to produce educational resources and stuff to proclaim this message of the gospel. We want to equip and help and motivate people to do this gospel. We want Lutheran saints in our Lutheran schools teaching our children about the value that God gives to human life. And we want to walk alongside young people. And thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your music. Thank you to others who are out there. We want to walk beside you. We want to help you. We want to learn from you so that together we can engage our peers and make a difference in this world in which we live. And we want God's saints reaching out to those who are struggling in difficult situations. We want God's saints equipping and helping pregnancy centers where the gospel has so many arms and so many legs. We want God's saints reaching out to those in nursing homes and care centers, visiting the sick and the infirm. We want God's saints to be the forgiving and loving arms of Jesus Christ to those who have made mistakes, as our Word of Hope ministry does every day. Based right here in Chicago, this post-abortion hotline. Nearly 300 calls every day. And as an aside, our offering this evening will be going to Word of Hope. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that's our offense. So you see, this is not a French text. Has nothing to do with we. It's all about God. It's all about God equipping you and me with His power and His might. It's all about God equipping us with His armor so that we can stand firm in the midst of the assaults of the evil one. So, dear friends, be reminded, but more importantly, be encouraged. Get equipped as this conference continues, but be encouraged in this. You are not called to stand firm in the midst of this spiritual warfare and win a great victory. You're called to stand firm in the midst of this spiritual warfare and proclaim a great victory that's already been won. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
invite you to please rise for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to us the truth that every life is the work of your hands. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you for revealing to us the truth that every life has been bought with the blood of your Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you for revealing to us the truth that your desire is to call every life into an eternal relationship with you through your Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this conference, all the speakers and presenters, and all in attendance, that we might be equipped to speak and love your truth about life. Lord, in your mercy, equip us as your saints to speak these truths in our society, which desperately needs to hear them through our words and deeds. Lord, in your mercy, move the leaders of our nation to recognize the tragedy of abortion, that following your will, they may act righteously, protecting the most vulnerable among us. Lord, in your mercy, bless and advance the work of Lutherans for Life as they educate and equip your saints on issues of life in our culture. Use them to move your people to be bold in speaking your truth. Lord, in your mercy. All these prayers we bring to you, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, our Head, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And receive the blessing of our Lord. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we join in singing Onward, Christian Soldiers.
Before you sit down, would you join me in thanking Mr. Jim Marriott and Trinity Lutheran's choir? Thank you very much. You may be seated now. I got you a standing ovation. We also want to thank Pastor Steve Reardon and Grace Lutheran Church for sponsoring the worship service this evening. Thank you very much, Pastor. And then I'm supposed to announce what's next, and that's the banquet following. We have a postlude coming up. I'd just recommend you stay and listen to that. But then the banquet is going to be right next door here, beginning at 6:30. See you there.